Well, it's a special day today. When our leaders go, that means that somebody has to come in and fill that spot. So today we have the special privilege of having the lead pastor of the Summit Church in Kimberley, Tyler Jorgensen, coming. Amen. That was amazing worship, and I think that just really sets the tone for this morning. Thank you, Tara Lee. Great job hearing the Lord. Thank you, congregation. You guys are the choir as well. You participate in worship just as much as everybody up there. So thank you. Come on up, Tyler. Can we get Tyler queued up there?
Good morning.
Oh, that sounds good, too.
This is a really large pulpit.
Yeah. You don't have to use it. You can kind of walk around if you want. Excellent. Let's just pray for Tyler that, one, he would have just hearing moment by moment for the Lord, but pray for our hearts as well. God, this morning we thank you for already what you're doing. You're stirring us up. You're stirring a passion in our heart. I pray that as we get into the word, that Pastor Tyler would just hear your voice moment by moment, and he wouldn't be shy on speaking your word boldly. And I pray that our hearts and eyes would be open to hear what you want to tell us this morning through Tyler. And just pray, yeah, that we wouldn't leave the way we came. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Oh, good morning. It is a privilege for me to be here with you guys this morning. And my wife sends her greetings. I guess you guys heard from her once before. Elizabeth, she's our missions coordinator and so on. But she's preaching up at our church this morning, and she's 7 months pregnant. And she looks 9 months pregnant. She feels that she's ready for this baby to be out, but anyway, it's great to be here with you this morning, and you're in the middle of a sermon series called Salt and Light, which is, and I've been asked to come and talk to you this morning about ministry gifts, specifically about a pastor, teacher, and apostle. And but I want to thank you, Donnie, for praying, but I want to pray just for us specifically one more time, if we may. Jesus, we pray you would open up our hearts. As we open up your word, would you speak what we need to hear this morning? Lord, we silence anything else, any other distractions, and we want you to speak by your Spirit. In your name we pray, amen. Last week, if you were here, you would have seen a video by Dr. Daniel Brown talking about spiritual gifts. And so we're continuing that topic of spiritual gifts. And the first take home I want you to hear this morning is that about spiritual gifts is that the gift is the Holy Spirit, first and foremost, the gift. And then if you keep that in your heart, and if you treasure the truth that it's the Holy Spirit that is the gift, then everything else about spiritual gifts begins to make sense, that it comes from and it is the Holy Spirit. Last week, Dr. Daniel Brown introduced this topic in 1 Corinthians. We're going to go back there to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will also be in Ephesians 4. So if you want to put your thumb there, because we're going to go there quickly. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read it to you this morning in the NIV. It says, "Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed or ignorant. I don't want you to be left in the dark about spiritual gifts." Now the word gift, as noted last week, was not actually in the text. It's the word pneumaticus, which means spirituals. So what he's saying here is regarding spiritual things, I don't want you to be uninformed. And then he goes on to explain that there is a vast variety of spirituals and expressions. All of it comes through the Holy Spirit, not from us. It's not our own efforts. It's not our talents. It's not the Holy Spirit taking what we already have and kind of illuminating it. No, it's from the Holy Spirit. It's directed from him. And then verse 11 of that part of that passage says, "All these are the works of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines." I think this is very key for us to understand that it's all from the Holy Spirit. It's all from him, and he distributes just as he sees fit. When I was, I'll tell you a quick story. At least I hope it's going to be quick. When I was in Bible college, I went to Bible college because I wanted to be a pastor and a missionary. All my life, since I was 3 years old, I began preaching sermons in public. I would stand up behind anything and preach to people walking by. "God says, love Jesus," was my sermon at three. So I was felt always, I was called to pastor, I was called to be a missionary, I wanted to go to the Philippines. And so I went to Bible college for that very purpose, to go and to become equipped, right? To do the very thing that I felt God calling me to do. So I go to Bible college and I take a spiritual gifts test. How many of you have taken a spiritual gifts test in your life? The rest of you should take a spiritual gifts test so you kind of know some of these things that God is leading you in, but it's a tool. Me, as a young Bible college student, didn't understand that. And so we were told to do the spiritual gifts test and then to list our top three gifts and our bottom three gifts. So my top three gifts were leadership, prophecy, and I can't remember, teacher. Those are my top three gifts. And then I had to list my bottom three gifts. I'll tell you the bottom two. Missionary and pastor. And I looked at that and I thought, how? Well, God, I thought, clearly I've missed it. Clearly I've missed this whole thing. And I became discouraged. At the end of that year, I didn't go back to Bible college because why? I had missed my life calling. I had missed hearing God completely. So I misunderstood. And then a couple years went by, and somebody at our church had asked me to go on a missions trip with them. And I said, nah, and you got the wrong guy, because it's not my gift. And but I prayed about it. And as I was praying about this, going on this missions trip, I said, God, I feel like you're asking me to go, but you're making a mistake, because I know you saw my spiritual gifts test. I know you're omniscient, and I know you know. You know, you've missed the boat here, because I am not gifted, clearly. And God says something to me very specific. And there are several times, probably two or three times in my life, where I felt like I've heard God's voice almost audibly. This is one of them, where he said, Tyler, you don't have any gifts at all. Isn't that a slap in the face? God, you don't have any except for what I've given you. And all I'm asking you to do is be obedient. And I sat there and I said, okay. And I went. And if I could take 3 hours to unpack everything I learned about spiritual gifts just on that trip, I came back excited. And I went straight to, off the plane, straight back to Bible college, and I enrolled again. And I said, I'm just willing to do whatever God's called me to do. And I have discovered something, that God frequently calls me to do the things that I feel least gifted in so that I can trust him. I have a hard time with people who will say things like this: I can't do this thing because it's not my gift. Well, guess what? Newsflash. It isn't your gift. You're right. It's the Holy Spirit. And he's asking you to be obedient. He's not asking you to do something in your own strength or your own talent. He's asking you to trust. It is all the Holy Spirit, and he wants to work through you. And that's how I've learned that. I've learned that I just need to be obedient, whatever he calls me to do. And so I'd like for us to remove from our thinking or vocabulary this idea, this thought, this phrase, this is not my gift, so I can't do it, and replace it with these words: okay, Jesus, and just trust him. Because Jesus gifts you, Jesus empowers you to the very assignment that he calls you to. When we begin to think of our spiritual gifts as something that we possess, that we own it, we miss essentially what they're about. It's the Holy Spirit wanting to move through us and to be used. And all he's asking us, our only response should be, okay, Jesus, wherever you want to lead, I will go. In this passage here in 1 Corinthians, in verse 4, Paul mentions a couple of interesting things. He says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit that distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same Spirit at work. He says there's a variety of expressions. I think that we are too quick to limit these. We look at these lists, you know, in Corinthians and Romans, Ephesians, and there's even two mentioned in 1 Peter, and we say, here are the gifts, and we make a little list, and this is what you have. I think we make it too small. I think what Paul's doing here is saying there's a variety. And there are some gifts that we don't even aware of. The Holy Spirit ministers through. But Paul lists here some different empowerments. He says there are different kinds of manifestations of a Spirit for the common good. So for one, there's given a message of wisdom and a message of knowledge. It talks also about gifts of healing and prophecy, distinguishing spirits, and so on. He talks about these that are empowerments. And then he goes on, and where we're going to try to land to this morning in verse 27 to 28, and also in Ephesians 4, where he talks about these different roles they have. And so let me read for you chapter 12, verse 27. It says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, and then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and different kinds of tongues. And we'll stop there. He begins to list all of these different roles. Now, one kind of, a little exegetical side note that I'd like you to hear this morning is that I don't think that Paul is saying that you have these hierarchy of gifts. So sometimes we can read this, and I think we can falsely attribute a hierarchy where it says that there is first apostle, right? And second, that there is, right? It's not a hierarchy. It's simply that you go to the grocery store, you make a list, right? What do? You list the things that come to memory, right? We need milk, cheese, eggs, and chocolate. But if we did it by priority, right, it would be chocolate first, and then now, right? So my personal opinion as I read the text is I don't think he's making a hierarchy. And the reason I don't believe that is because he just spends the verses between verses 12 and 26 talking about how everyone's the same, everyone's equal. It would defeat his own argument to say, well, you know, everyone's equal, we need everyone, but guess what? The apostles, they're the best. I don't think that's what he's saying here. But I want to explain quickly the difference between an office and an empowerment, too, so that we understand. We're talking about different roles or different ministry gifts as apart from an empowerment. Office is your place in the body. Okay, an empowerment is the things that the Holy Spirit is having you to do. It's outward. For example, you could say it this way, using the body analogy, that your office is the hand. But the empowerments are things like writing, knitting, right, throwing a baseball. You have a place in the body where God has placed you, but then there's things that he wants to do as that part of the body he wants you to do, and the Holy Spirit wants to work through you. I hope that brings a little bit of clarity to that. If you are the office of teacher, then your job is to explain things, to make things known, to bring clarity. And then as a teacher, you could have gifts of discerning of spirits. You could have the gift of a word of knowledge or word of wisdom or healing or any one of these things. But in all of that, it's all about bringing clarity and understanding to the whole body. And so that's kind of how that works. So why does Paul list these things the way that he does? I personally believe this. He wants to illustrate three things. Number one, there's a diversity of gifts. There's so many different expressions of this gift. But it's all from the same Spirit. And that's the second thing. The second point is that it's all from Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And the third one is that they're for the purpose of building a church. Those are why we have spiritual gifts. That's why we have these offices. There's many different gifts. There's many different expressions, many services, many different workings. But it's all from this whole same Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And it's all for building a church. So today we're going to look at three ministry gifts: teacher, pastor, and apostle. And we're going to flip over to Ephesians chapter 4. So if you're already there, great. If not, I have a little cheater tab. So I'm just going to start reading. So you could just listen. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 12. Actually, you know what? Let's read from verse 10 because we're going to reference that in a moment. It says, he who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. Verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so the body of Christ may be built up. We call these a fivefold ministry. Again, I find that a very unsatisfactory term because I don't believe that we need to limit it to five. Again, I think Paul is just expressing. These are some of the expressions in the church that we see. But I think his point is this. There's a diversity of expressions. It is all from Jesus. It says Christ himself gave these. And the purpose is for building the church. These offices, evangelist, pastor, teacher, prophet, apostle, are gifts to the church. Paul is saying, Jesus didn't leave you without any support. He didn't just go up to heaven and just say, okay, you're on your own. He gave you support. In fact, in John 14, he says, I will not leave you as orphans, right? But I will send you the helper, the Holy Spirit, right, to guide you in all truth. And so I'm going to give you the Spirit of truth. In Jesus, we have, when he walked on earth, in Jesus, we have every spiritual gift. He was apostle, he was the prophet, he was evangelist, miracle, everything he had. When he ascended, this is what I believe, he poured himself into the church. And he gave parts of what he was, his ministries, to the various parts of the church so that it could be his body. That's why it says when he ascended, right? We read that in verse 10. It means that when he left, he didn't leave us without anything left of himself. He poured out the Spirit to diversify all of the things that he was to his whole church. So the whole church together is a reflection of Christ's body. Jesus fills the church with his Spirit. The Spirit ministers through the people in the church, and the church is built up and supported. The emphasis is not on the people who occupy the positions. I feel like we often go there, that we read these and God gave these, and we think of it as people, that God gave the teachers, the apostles, right? All of these number of people, and we begin to focus on the office. I don't believe that's the focus. The focus is the Holy Spirit and Jesus giving himself and this variety of expression. We see the same thing in 1 Corinthians 11. The Spirit fills the church, and so it's complete. It's not lacking in anything. The Holy Spirit is moving through all of these parts. They're all functioning. They're all there. So let's take a look at the three ministry gifts, and we're going to do it very briefly this morning because I want to get to the reason. So we're going to very quickly talk about the ministry gifts. Teacher and apostle and pastor. Now, first thing I want to say about ministry gifts is you don't have to be a leader to have a ministry gift. You don't have to be an ordained pastor to be part of the body. I believe that every member is a minister, and this is for everyone. So number one, a teacher. Teachers are the people that want others to understand. It's in them to want to explain something, and the greatest joy for a teacher is to see the light bulb come on for the first time, and people get it, and you're like, oh, because knowledge is so important to you, understanding. But it's not just communicating knowledge. It's communicating knowledge for transformation, too. It's not just disseminating facts. Right? Anyone can do that. A teacher's joy comes when people are transformed, and they learn from it, and they grow from it. It's wisdom. It's the applied knowledge. If you're a teacher, you have this unique gifting that is essential in the church. You want to know what and why. You research. You want to know, but you don't just want to know for yourself. You immediately want to tell other people about what you just learned. It comes natural. You want to explain that. And you have this amazing ability, a God-given ability, to take complex ideas and you boil them down and reduce them, and then you're able to communicate those in a way that people understand. And that's the key, is you can understand it, but you can communicate it in a way that people understand. And they say, I get it now. I didn't understand it before, but when you explained it, now I get it. You're the type that will research and do all this work because you want to know. And you can also see very clearly answers to situations because you're able to process information differently. You can also feel frustrated when people don't care about facts or don't care about knowledge or don't care about the things that you're trying to tell them. Like my wife, she just doesn't care about what I've learned and what I teach her. Right? She's like, you can keep it, tell the church. it can be frustrating because you want to share, you want to explain to people that. So is that you? Does that sound like something that you are like? Maybe it is you. And if it is, my question, next follow-up question is, what are you doing about it? Are you waiting for someone to ask you to lead something and to teach? Are you just waiting for someone? Or maybe you're the one who's just sitting there waiting for someone to just give you a microphone. Because I'll teach, but you got to give me a microphone. Right now, are you sharing what you're learning about Christ, about in your devotions? Are you sharing that with the people that are around you? Are you content to teach wherever God would have you to teach, whether that be in your home group, in your family, in Sunday school? There are people in the church that need you. Are you willing? That's a teacher. Number two, pastor. Pastor means shepherd. The word for pastor is the word Greek word for shepherd. It means someone who takes care of, right? And the concern of the pastor is to care for the needs of the church. It's not a title. Right? I'm a pastor, but I'm not a pastor. That makes sense. I'm a lead pastor of a church, but it is not my spiritual gift, right? It's the bottom. Not everybody who is a lead pastor is a pastor, and not everyone who's a pastor needs to have a title, right? We unfortunately talk about pastors as people who lead a ministry, but that's not necessarily their office or their gift. Pastors are caregivers. They're deep, have deep empathy, have this innate nurturing characteristics. They just want to take care of others. You like small groups. You like deep conversations. You like meaningful interactions. You want to help people, and you're connected with people on an emotional level. We need pastors. You create an atmosphere of family, of connectedness. You bring people together and make them feel like they're part of a bigger family. And you're so important. You're concerned about hearts. You're concerned about emotions. You feel people's pain when they hurt, and you carry that. You embrace people. You also make them feel welcome. You bring them in to the family. You have a soft and tender heart towards those who are hurting. Does that sound like you? If so, what are you doing to live that out? Question is, are you regularly meeting with people that you care for and caring for them? Do you feel like you can care for others in the church without having a title? Or do you feel like you need a title in order to do ministry? You're like, I have this gift of pastor, but I can't do anything because I don't have that title. The third one is apostle. Apostles are visionaries. They're entrepreneurs. They love to start things. They get excited about creating things. And then they want to hand it off to somebody else to empower them and release it. Apostles don't want to start something and then maintain it. That kills them, kills an apostle. What they want to do is they are initiators. They want to start something and then hand it off, find people they can hand it off so they can start something new, right? That's what the apostle is. Apostles are generally very widely gifted. I've heard it said that apostles can be some of the most gifted people because they're initiators, because they start. So they have this wide variety of different gifts that they have. But they're initiators, they're visionary, and they're very high efficient. If you're an apostle, you are someone who can see things clearly, and you can see the process from beginning to end, and you can see the vision ahead. And you can communicate that. And you can get people excited and bring people around you. You love to see things happen. You love to see things moving forward, and you get frustrated when things don't move forward. You get frustrated when you're just kind of staying in the same place. And you are also someone who is able to help other people accomplish their giftings and walk into their callings because you're able to see what other people can do before they can see it. And you want to empower them and release them into ministry. So those are the three. Well, first of all, if that's you, I should say this. If that is you, my question is, how are you living that out? Are you regularly creating? Are you regularly vision casting and sharing your ideas? Do you feel the freedom to do that? Do you feel that you can do that? Or do you get frustrated when other people seem to not have a vision? They have a lack of vision. The other question is, are you helping the people who are around you, that you are connected to, are you helping them awaken them to their potential? And helping see what God is doing in their lives and helping them to see it. So here are some thoughts I have about these three ministry gifts. And perhaps you thought, well, I'm not in leadership, so I can't do this. And that's wrong. Leadership wants you to live out your calling. I say that as a senior pastor. I want people to step into their callings. I want people to do that. The church needs you. But some of the problems that we see is that people are either too hesitant or too arrogant. And I use a very strong word, arrogant. See, I'll tell you what my gift mix is. So I'm an apostle and a prophet and a teacher. And so my last gift is pastor. So this week I went and redid my spiritual gifts test to see, and you know what? Pastor hardly even shows up on the radar. It is such a low gift, but it's because usually pastors aren't prophetic, as the office of prophet, because they're very counterintuitive. Prophets are very black and white. This is right, this is wrong. And so I was sharing with Connie this morning, actually, I've discovered something about myself, is that pastors who preach are very loving and caring. Prophets who speak are very, you're an idiot, fix it, right? And so my preaching tends to be very, this is what the scripture says, so fix it. Like, you know, do something about it. And so I'm not very caring. I tell my people in my church, I've told them this many times, I am the lead pastor, but I am not a pastor. But we have people in our church who are pastors. And we identify and we point them out. And I tell them, if you want counseling, you come to me, I will tell you, that's stupid, fix it. But if you go into one of the pastors, they'll care for you. And so my wife is a pastor. That's her heart. She's very caring and nurturing. That's why I married her, to balance that out. But we have people who are pastors. And I tell people, these are the people. They're going to care for you. They lead our home groups, right? They do this kind of stuff. And when I came into pastoral ministry, it was interesting, though, because pastor is my bottom gift, it is still amazing that when God called me to be a senior pastor, how he transplanted his heart into me. So I care for people in our congregation far more than I ever thought possible. And there's a level of caring that I never thought in myself that I would have. And so I do care. It's not like my congregation doesn't think I care about them. That's not it. But it is not who God has made me to be, but he does empower me to do that. But we have pastors in our church who don't need a mic. They don't need to be up in front. They're just there. They just care. And what I want as a pastor, as a leader of a church, is for people to step up into their callings and say, what can I do? How can I be a part? So we're going to talk about two different people that fill our churches, and it's maybe you. May not be, but it may be you. I always say this. A church is at its best when everybody is doing their part together. That's what I believe. A church is at its best. It's a healthy when everybody is doing their part together. A church is at its worst when it all gets put on the leadership to do it all. Everyone else becomes a spectator. That's when the church is at its worst, because then everything is dysfunctional in the family. A church is at its best when everyone is doing their part together. So we have two different types of people. The first one is hesitant. They're reluctant people to step out. And there's a lot of different reasons for this, for people who are hesitant. Maybe it's because they say, well, I can't do this. I don't feel gifted. I'm not a leader, so I can't step out into that. And so it could just be because there's fear. I don't know how I can do this. Or it could be because of even self-doubt or self-shaming. Like, I'm not a mature enough believer. I haven't been a Christian long enough to be able to do this. You will never become a mature believer if you're not living out your purpose. Because through prayer and the reading of the word and worship comes this outflow of what it means to live your calling. And if you never live it, you'll never become a mature believer. My encouragement to you is to say, just be obedient. You don't have to feel like you're the most gifted person. Jesus doesn't call you because you're gifted, right? He equips you. All he's saying is, just step out. You say, well, I'm not sure I feel comfortable with that. Good. You know, God often calls me to do the very things I'm most uncomfortable with. Why? Because in my weakness, he's made strong. I have to trust him more. I have to rely on him more. And so when he calls me to do the things that I'm not gifted at, right, I have to trust him. So God called me to be a missionary, even though it was the last thing on my list, for 8 years in Africa. And now this is my fifth year of pastoring. There are things that are not on my top of my gift mix. But they're the very things that God's called me to do, and he's having to work through me, and I have to trust him all the more. So don't sit there and say, well, I don't have this gift. I can't do it. Jesus will gift you as he calls you. So just be obedient. Then the second is the arrogant. I know this is a harsh term, but I'm a prophet, so deal with it. But you're the person who sits there and you criticize others. You look at them and say, you know, that person up there, I could have done that better. They should have asked me to do that, because if I was speaking, I'm far more eloquent. I mean, how many times did I say in one sentence, right? Don't they know how to public speak? And so they become critical. I'm using a very harsh example, but we do this in very subtle ways, don't we? We look at others and we compare. Or maybe you say it this way, you know, I would do it, but they haven't asked me yet, so I'll wait for them to ask me. And when they ask me, when they really need me, then I'll step up. Or they say, I can only do my gift if it's done this way. Because you see, this is my gift, and I'm so proud of my gift, and this is how I see it working out. So if it's not going to be done this way, then I'm just not going to do it, because you've clearly missed God. And so this is how it has to work. You've got to give me the microphone. You've got to give me the title. You've got to do this. Or you have to create a ministry a certain way, because that's how it looks to me. and we miss it. If the leadership has another idea, another direction, then you're going to hold out because you say, that's not the way that my gift needs to be used. You need to humble. Be humble. See, this, the gift that God gives you is not for you. It was not for you. It's for the church. It's for other people. And the moment that we say, this is my gift, this is how it has to be done, or people need to recognize me, what have we done? We've put ourselves on the throne. And we say, everyone look at me. And what happens to the Holy Spirit? He does not get the recognition that he deserves. It all should be for the glory of God. How we see, I feel it. When I live out my gifts the best, it's when people don't even know it was me. I love it when people will come and say, man, you know, I heard this preacher sometimes say this. I know it was what I spoke 2 weeks ago, but they have no idea it was for me. I love that because I want them to give the glory to God, not to me, not to anybody else. And so when the Holy Spirit gets the glory, because we're living our lives, our gifts out selflessly, then we've made it. You need to be okay with serving God anywhere. When leadership comes and says, hey, you know, we see you have this gift of teaching, so would you mind working with the Sunday school kids? You need to say, okay. Not, those are beneath me, or I did that well before. I've graduated now to bigger things. I need to teach the adults, because I'm a teacher. I wonder what Jesus would think of that. You need to be okay. The real question is, are you going to be obedient, or are you going to be rebellious? Those are your choices. Jesus left, and when he left, he filled the church with every expression of himself so that it was without lack. He had it all. He had all the gifts, all the offices, and did he hold on to it? Did he use them to make himself look important, to build or make nice things for himself? Did he do it for recognition? Though he was rich, he was made poor for you. He poured everything out for you. When we begin to see that the Holy Spirit is the gift, that he is what we get, and then we are happy to have him be used any way he wants. I don't care. I'm just so glad, Holy Spirit, that I get to have this with you, and whatever you want to do, go ahead. Be available anytime for the sake of the church, whatever you have. Then you're going to ask yourself this question, Holy Spirit, how can I pour myself out today for you? How can I be used by you today for others? This morning I want to ask you to ask yourself this question. How are you using your gifts to love and support the church? How are you using your gifts to love and support the church? Because he's going to lead some of you into missions, some of you into teen or children's ministry, some of you to evangelism right here in Cranbrook, maybe some of you into intercession, some of you stepping up in ways you never thought you could ever do right here in this church because there's need and God's calling you to do it. He's going to call some of you into a ministry of reconciliation. But he's calling all of you. Here's the thing. If you are here this morning and if you are breathing, breathe, it's you. God's calling you to be part. Are you going to serve or be disobedient? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 11 says, because to each is given the manifestation of a spirit. To each is given. Each of you, each of us has been given. We are all a part of the body. We each have the responsibility and the privilege to say, yes, I will be all in. I will be obedient and serve wherever you call me. My question then to conclude is, have you been holding out on the church? Because you've either been entitled, it's a little softer word than arrogant, isn't it? Entitled or hesitant. So what are you going to do about it? Maybe you are serving. Maybe you're like, I serve. I use my gifts. But you know what we can do when we're serving, for maybe even for a long time? We get into a nice, comfortable groove. And the Holy Spirit is always moving us from comfort to discomfort, from comfort to trust. And so the question is to ask is, Holy Spirit, what do you want from me now? In this season, what do you want? How do you want me to use what you've, what is your purpose for me in this season? Because I'm willing to step out. I'm willing to do whatever it is that you have. Have you ever thought to ask God that? God, what do you want from me right now? What do you want from me for this season? Why don't you bow your heads with me? Oh, Jesus, let us be overwhelmed by your great gift. I pray we would so cherish the gift of the Holy Spirit that we would not even dream of holding it back from your body. Pray that you would lead us to be poured out, that you would lead us to step into trust and allow you to express yourself through us. Lord, I pray you would speak to our hearts and inspire us this morning. I pray that we would be bold. That's what you promised when you gave the Spirit, that we would be bold. I pray we would be bold to step into new areas that you're calling us to. May we not regard our gifts as our own. May we not hoard and keep your Spirit to ourselves. But may we be every day pleased to be poured out for the sake of your kingdom and your church. In your name we pray, amen. Amen. As we were worshiping this morning, we were singing a song, and I wrote down the words because I thought it was very appropriate. It was, I think it was Gracefully Broken, but it says, all to Jesus now. Right? All to Jesus now. So our service is to him, to his body, holding nothing back. And as we were singing that, I thought, you know, that's what we can do. We think of it only in our relationship with Jesus, but we could also, we can hold back just our own, what God's called us to do by being selfish. And the next line was, I surrender. And I thought, how appropriate. And I believe that's what we need to do, to surrender. Hold nothing back. All Jesus, it's all for you. However you want to use me, I'm holding nothing back. I surrender it all to you. Amen.